All right, good morning, everybody. We want to welcome y'all to our West Point Church online service this morning, and we are excited to bring the Word of God to you. I have started a prophecy series. I've done this every summer for the last 5 years. This summer makes 5 years. So I've done that. I started doing this series back in the summer, I think it was June of 2016. So here we are in 2021, and this is the School of Prophecy, Part 5. I just want to tell you that if you would like any of the notes, all of these notes are going to be available. You can download them if you want a copy of it. Just go to the West Point Church Facebook page. Just hit like on there, and it's going to give you notifications from the church, and you can also access all of the sermon material. All the teaching material will be there for you to freely use. So I would encourage you to do that because there's a lot going on in the world, a lot of Bible prophecy being fulfilled, and we know that we are called by God to be living unto Jesus Christ, living unto God, as the Bible says, as those who are alive from the dead. Hallelujah. So today, last Sunday, I taught on the subject of the last days generation. That was lesson one. Today is lesson two. This message today, or this teaching today, I have simply entitled it, The Falling Away from Faith. We talked about culture last week and the things that are happening in the culture, things that are going on in society, and how all of those things are fulfilling Bible prophecy. Well, today is another very important fulfillment of the Word of God. That the Scripture says that in the last days, prior to the coming of Christ, that many will turn away from the faith. So we're going to visit that subject today. The end of the age will be characterized, according to the Word of God, by an end-time invasion of demon spirits that will mesmerize society in deception. These spirits will blind people's minds to the truth, and they will seduce them to believe what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, doctrines of demons. We're going to talk about that. These demon spirits will be active in all aspects of the culture, even in the arena of the church. We are encouraged in Scripture that we must always test the spiritual realm. So let me start with a couple of verses of Scripture today. The first one is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. He says, "Now therefore, beloved, since you know these things, beware lest you would also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." Now, you will notice that that is addressed to believers because he says, "Now therefore, beloved, since you know what's going to happen in the days before the coming of Christ, since you know what will happen in society, the things that will be taking place in the culture at large," he says, "beware lest you would be swallowed up into that, lest you would fall from your own steadfastness." We're going to compare that to what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." So there is our subject right there. Lesson two, the falling away from faith. So let's expound upon this today. I just want to take a few moments today and expound on this subject because this is a big deal. And we see this happening today more than ever. Even prominent ministers of the gospel denying the faith, turning away from the things of God. even those in the Christian music industry, denying the faith, turning away from the faith of the gospel. So my friends, as we see these things, we understand it is a fulfillment of the prophetic word of God. As Paul told Timothy, that in the latter times, there would be a departure from the faith. So let's define that today. First of all, on our outline, we're going to talk about departing from the faith and what that produces. Because when someone departs from the faith of the gospel, they open themselves up to deception. So when there is a departure from the faith, it will produce deception. Let's visit the meaning of the word deceive. First of all, the word deceive means to wander off course. It refers to a departure from a previous held moral position. So in other words, there will be a change of value system that people will change their beliefs. They will change their moral stand. This is a very interesting definition for the word deceive. To wander off course, a departure from a previous held moral position. The idea is that of being on the right path, but then wandering off of that path onto a different, unpredictable path. And my friends, people are doing that today. Even as we preach this message, people are denying the faith and turning away from the gospel. Well, in the Olivet Discourse, recorded in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said this in verse 4. He said, "Be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error." So he warned his disciples, be careful that no one is misleading you. No one is deceiving you. No one is getting you off the right path and onto the wrong path. He said, beware of that. Be careful that no one deceives you. So the word deceive means to wander off course, to depart from a previous held moral position. Let me move on. Number two, when truth is abandoned and moral integrity is thrown away, a spirit of confusion is the result. So when people abandon the truth, again, what did Paul tell Timothy? They give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of demons. All right, so when truth is abandoned, when moral integrity, remember what the word deceive means, it means to change a previous held moral position. So when truth is abandoned and moral integrity is thrown away, a spirit of confusion is the result. Do you know why, my friend? Because then sin comes in. Listen to what we read in James chapter 3, verse 16. He says, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there. All right, so when there is a departure from a previous held moral position, then we open ourselves up to various forms of sin and sinful thinking. And James says, what happens is then people begin to live in a spirit of envy. They become self-seeking. They become narcissistic. And as they do that, then according to James 3:16, confusion and every evil work is going to be found in that place. Well, let's continue to move forward. Number three, we're talking about departing from the faith and how it produces deception. Sin always deceives people. All right, so here's number three. To depart from truth opens the doors for seducing spirits to bring in a spirit of delusion. The last day's society will be seduced and they will believe what is false over what is true. My friends, we are definitely there. So to depart from truth means to open the door to demonic power, demonic influence. And they bring in a spirit of delusion. What does a spirit of delusion do? Well, that brings me to number four. See, the result of departing the faith produces a conditioning that will open the door to widespread deception. And this deception will exist in every realm of society. Every realm, every arena of society. And when that spirit of delusion is at work and that deception comes in, that conditioning takes place, then people begin to call evil good and good evil. Look at what Isaiah says about that. Prophet of God, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. He says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Look at this. "Who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness." My friend, that is what a spirit of delusion does. When there is that departure of the faith, this is the result. Let me keep moving forward. Number five, because it's there's a very key word that we must focus in on, and it is this word depart, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a falling away from the faith, that there will be a departure from the faith. So the word depart comes from this Greek word that means to distance oneself, to withdraw from, or to shrink back. This word pictures a person who changes his position. Remember the definition of the word deceive. It means to change a moral position. So the word depart means to distance oneself, to withdraw from, or to shrink back. It pictures a person who changes his position of once held strong beliefs and now believes something quite differently. My friends, we are in the era of a falling away, a departing from the faith. So that's what the word depart means, to distance oneself, to withdraw from, to shrink back. They change their belief system. They change their position of what was once a strong belief system, and they are now believing something quite different. What happened? They have given heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of demons. My friends, we are living in that hour. Let me move on. Number six, the word of God indicates that there would be a falling away, a rebellion, an abandonment of the truth, a rejection of God's revelation. When we reject the gospel, when someone makes a decision to reject the gospel, they are abandoning the faith. There is a falling away. There is an abandonment of the truth. This is what is called apostasy. Apostasy simply is, as we defined it here, a rebellion. It is a turning away. It is an abandonment. So there is a defection in the last days. There will be a great falling away. So there is an abandonment, a defection from the true God, a defection from the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And notice again, he uses the word deceive. A wandering off course, a departure from a previous held moral position. So he says, let no one deceive you. Don't change your position. Don't fall into deception. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. So there you have it, man. There's a lot in this verse, but it is a prophetic statement. Let no one deceive you, for that day will not come. What day is he talking about? He is talking about the day of the Lord. He's talking about the day of the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the day of reckoning, the day of judgment, the day of a giving of an account, that every single soul will one day have to stand before God and give an account. So he is making a direct reference to the day of the Lord. And he says the day of the Lord is not going to come. See, there was some dispute in this local church in Thessalonica. They believe that that judgment had already happened. They believe that the day of the Lord had already taken place. And he had to bring some understanding to that. He says, no, it has not happened. He said it is in the future. And that day will not come until there is a falling away first and the man of sin is revealed. A direct reference to the Antichrist. He is called here the son of perdition. That simply means the son of sin or the son of iniquity or the son of destruction. So let's zero in on a very important phrase here. Those two words, falling away. It is this Greek word, apostasia. It means to withdraw. It means to defect. It means to forsake. It means to leave. Apostasia. That is the word from which we get the English word apostate or apostasy. To withdraw, to defect, to forsake. Now, we all know that we have seen people in churches who have dropped out of church. They have fallen out of the fellowship of the believers. I was listening to a minister writing on this subject. I was reading this article, and he made a direct reference to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. When he was talking about those who have abandoned the fellowship. And he said that that is a form of apostasy. Now, you know, I don't know if I would, you know, 100% agree with that. But it really got me to thinking along that subject. You know, because the Bible does say, and this is a verse that we quote as pastors all the time, because we know how vital it is, how important it is for people to stay in the context of the body of Christ, that we need the ministry of the local church, and we are commanded to not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. So let's visit that. It's Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, and it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, let's put that in the context with what we just read in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, because he said, don't be deceived, for that day is not going to come. What day? The day of the Lord. All right, so he says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, it's very important to point out is that what they lost sight of in the church in Thessalonica and what the warning is in Hebrews chapter 10, not to forsake the assembly of the local church. We must understand what is happening here. He was tying this in to a spirit of deception. People vacate the church. They depart the assembly of the believers because they have been deceived in some way. And they have lost sight of the approaching day. They are not looking for that day. And every born-again child of God is exhorted and encouraged in Scripture that we must never lose sight of the day of the Lord. We must live every day of our lives in the context that Christ could return at any moment, that the trumpet could sound at any moment, that the rapture of the church could take place at any moment. So we must not forsake the assembly. The word forsake in the Greek language, here's the Greek definition. It means to abandon. It means to desert. It means to leave in the lurch. Now, my friends, I know that this pandemic has rattled people. And I know people are dealing with a spirit of fear. But I want to encourage you today. Get in the will of God. Get in the word of God. Get in the local church. God's will is for you to be in his house. Don't fall under deception. Don't abandon the call. Don't lose sight of the approaching day of the Lord that is coming so rapidly. Well, let me move on. Here's the next thing under the outline. Giving heed. The verse that we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He said they will give heed to demonic power, demon spirits. So let's talk about that. Giving heed to demonic influence. What is all of that about? Well, four things I want to give you here today. First of all, we must understand this. Society is already putting great pressure on believers to embrace lifestyles that are contrary to what the Bible teaches us. And we know one of the big social issues today is the issue of sexuality. My friend, the Bible is very, very clear. God gives us incredible guidelines in reference to sexuality. That does not change. God gave it to us in the very beginning. It does not change. But there are people who are, remember what the word deceive means, to change one's moral position. There are pastors today endorsing same-sex marriage. There are ministers of the gospel today endorsing sexuality that is against the word of God. My friends, because the pressure is on, but we cannot give heed to those demonic influences, and that's exactly what it is. So number two, the second thing. See, deceiving spirits will negate the power and authority of what Jesus did at the cross. They will suggest, these demonic forces that attack the mind, they will suggest that the cross was not a divine plan of salvation. Look at what Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. He said, for there are many. He dealt with them in his generation. We are dealing with them in ours. For there are many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, who walk, they live as enemies of the cross of Christ. They're enemies. Demonic influence. Those that deny the finished work of the cross of Calvary, that say that the cross is not enough, that's a demonic influence. Those that say that the cross is not the only way to God, that is a demonic influence. My friends, we must never ever give heed to demonic influence. Let me move on. Number three, seducing spirits will always attack the word of God. The devil was a master at twisting scripture to bring people's minds into a state of confusion. Paul makes a direct reference to this master trickery that the devil used against the mind of Eve in the Garden of Eden. Let's visit it. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, but I am afraid that as the serpent, here's our word deceive again, as the serpent deceived Eve by his trickery, that your minds will be led astray from sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Now let me stop right there for just a moment, because it's important that you get this. All the demonic influence, all these demon spirits are doing today is to separate you, to move you away from devotion to Christ. They don't want you to be a sold out follower of Christ. They don't want you devoted to Jesus Christ. So their work is to deceive the mind, to change the belief system, and to move you away. He goes on and he says, if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, and this you tolerate very well. My friends, deception had crept in to the local church. It is trying to creep in today, and we must be aware of demonic influence. Here's the fourth thing under giving heed to demonic influence. The devil will always give you other options. Because remember, he wants to move you away from Jesus. The phrase giving heed that we read in 1 Timothy 4:1, it means to turn your thoughts in another direction. It means to consider other options. The devil is a master at that. He was successful in the Garden of Eden as he deceived Eve by his trickery that we just read. But let me read 1 Timothy 4:1 again, but I want to read it in the Message Bible. He says, the Spirit makes it clear that as time goes on, some are going to give up on the faith and they will chase after demonic illusions put forth by professional liars. Wow. 1 Timothy 4:1 in the Message Bible. What a statement of truth that is. Professional liars. And we see them in every arena of society today. I have so much to say on that, but I gotta move on. Because here's our concluding part. I want to give you three action steps to help you keep the faith. Because my friends, we are going to be tested and tried. Even Jesus said, as long as you're in this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So let me give you three action steps that will help you keep the faith, help you stay on track. First of all, monitor your spiritual progress and ask the Holy Spirit to help you identify anything that is not truth. I love what David prayed in Psalms 25:5. He says, lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. So here's my first action step to keep the faith. I must monitor my spiritual progress and I must ask the Holy Spirit to help me identify things that are false. Here's the second action step. Identify any influences that may be affecting your heart toward unbelief. First, I quote all the time, is found in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, where it says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. So I have to identify any influences that may be affecting my heart to change a biblical belief system. And here's the third and final action step to keep the faith. Don't make any provisions for your flesh, but rather keep yourself in the righteousness of Christ. In other words, stay away from places that will tempt you to sin. Stay away from circumstances or situations that will tempt you to sin. Stay away from bad associations that will lead you down a wrong path. Don't make any provision for your flesh that you would be caught into temptation or into sin, but put on Jesus Christ. And I'll leave you with this in Romans 13:14. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. My friends, we are going to have to pay particular attention to our life in these days that we are living in, because we are living in the midst of a great falling away. Let's pray. Father, I pray supernatural protection over every person today. God, I pray for those who may have already fallen away. Maybe they have backslidden. Maybe they are in deception. Father, I pray that this message today, the Holy Spirit will use it to give them insight, wisdom, and revelation. And Father, I pray protection over every born-again believer. I pray they will keep the faith. I pray they will continue to move forward. I pray, Lord God, that you will protect them. I pray that you will give them the operation of your grace that they will take these action steps and they will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's it, my friends. God bless you. Come be with us in the house of God. We are praying for you and believing God for your victory in Jesus' name.